T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. We'll talk to Michael Cohen, the latest on the Green Bay Packers, 8:20. We'll talk to Tom Skybosh at 8:35. Now, he knew Craig Counsell way back in the day.
Oh, yes. Sky, longtime media relations director of the Brewers. He was there in the 80s and into the early 90s, the 70s, and former sports writer here in town. Sky is a good guy. And he also wrote a book on the Brewers back in the day. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to our talk with him.
You know, it's been interesting watching, obviously, the Brewers and the whole state become a part of this thing. And the connection that Craig Counsell is like one of us, one of us, one of us. He's a Wisconsin guy, obviously. I mean, yeah, he went to Notre Dame and he played one World Series in two different spots. But he grew up in Whitefish Bay. He grew up as a Brewer fan. He can relate to this as much as anybody. And when he's asked about it constantly, he always talks about how he feels a sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. He says he just wanted to, after he was done playing, he just wanted to help the Brewers any way that he could. And anyway, he never foresaw himself being the manager of the team. And now that he is, he feels this responsibility to bring Brewer baseball to all parts of the state, and to bring good Brewer baseball, too. And he is doing an incredible job with that.
Yeah, there was a story done in the Journal Sentinel the other day about all the people from Whitefish Bay who've got connections with Craig Counsell. He coaches girls basketball. He's a co-coach during the winter. People have seen him going about to Sendix and other places in town. Shannon, her brothers played Little League with him, grew up a few blocks away. Where the Craig Counsell Field is. I don't know if you've ever seen the Craig Counsell Field in Whitefish Bay. That is an amazing facility. That's like one of the best in the state. That's the best high school baseball diamond I've ever seen. That is just outstanding. So a lot of connections. And for a hometown guy to end up managing the Milwaukee Brewers being just right down the road.
How many schools are in Whitefish Bay? Because every time I drive through there, I feel like there's another school I've never seen.
You mean high schools?
Just like school.
Oh, I don't know. There's like Catholic schools, there's grade schools, there's the two high schools are Dominican and Whitefish Bay, the Blue Dukes.
I feel like everybody's front yard, there's a school right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel, I don't know, every time I drive through Whitefish Bay, it's like there's schools.
I like Whitefish Bay, I've always have. I like that community, I like the housing there. And plus too, I like to get the ballparks, get the old Bradley Center and now the Pfizer Forum, or get the Miller Park, it's right down the road. It's easy to jump on the freeway and you're there.
Christian Yelich, Jesus Aguilar, Gio Gonzalez, all those guys talking yesterday to the media. And Christian Yelich was asked, as he sat up there with Zeus, about what the team knows about Craig Counsell's connection to this team. This is Christian Yelich.
I've become more aware of it over the last few weeks. I didn't know he had as deep a roots as he really did. But yeah, it just shows that not only that, how much he cared, but how much we care, and how much the people in the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin care about what this team's doing. It's a great feeling to know that the community is behind us, and the way we play affects people's lives, positively. If we play well, then there's a genuine happiness around the city, and you feel that as a team. You don't take that lightly, and hopefully we can continue this run for the city and the state.
When he was hired to replace Renicki, it was just kind of like, all right. I mean, we obviously know Craig Counsell, mm-hmm. and he was doing some radio work with the late Daryl Hamilton at the time, and doing some stuff also with Doug Melvin, but we really didn't know, like, what he was doing. Like, I didn't know much about his job, but I guess he's working with Doug pretty close.
Yeah, well, you had the impression that he was going to maybe eventually take over for Doug. In the front office.
For Doug.
And he worked, and he got to learn baseball. I mean, he really learned how to become a manager when he played for Jimmy Leland in Florida. You know, the former Marlin manager, Tigers, and of course, the Pirates. He and Jimmy is one of the best managers, I think, in the last 30 years. And he said he got to learn how to, you know, just as he played for him, but Jim Leland kind of took him under his wing and showed him how he did certain things and how to manage a game and that side of the baseball. And that's where he really developed a love to, hey, maybe I want to do this someday. I want to be a manager. And then when he was in the front office, he got to learn that part. So he's had a few good teachers that get him to this point so far.
And when David Stearns got the GM job, I mean, the caveat was you cannot fire Craig. Craig's our manager. You have to work with him. All the candidates that were interviewed, that's Mark's guy. Mark Pistachio, as Cato Kalin calls him. Yeah. Mark Attanasio. You've got to keep Craig. And now it's been a partnership that has worked very well between the two of them. And they've constantly done things that are maybe a little different in baseball, but it's been working.
And it could have been a difficult relationship because when the GM comes in, they want to hire their own guy. You want to be able to hire your own guy, and that could have been a problem, but it never did. And those two, you know, from all, I mean, they're this far, they work well together.
Is there any GM right now that can fire the manager in our state? Because Gutekunst can't fire McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
and Horst certainly can't fire Bud. And I don't think Stearns, if he wanted to fire Council, I don't think he could. I don't think he had to get the green light from Mark, and Mark would say no.
Well,
although
sounds
people
like,
are sniffing on Stearns now.
Yeah, yeah, and a few other guys there. His assistant, Matt Arnold, is getting some attention, too, from what we hear with the Giants and a few other people. So, I do think, though, when Stearns has got to make a move, he just can't do it himself. He talked about that when, or Attanasio talked down in Chicago when they clinched the tiebreaker by beating the Cubs when they won the division. He said he got a call the night before the Brewers made all those acquisitions. He said, hey, we have a chance to get Cedeño and Garcia, or it's Cedeño, and we had a chance to get Gonzalez, and we had a chance to get a few guys, and Granderson. And what do you think? And Attanasio said, well, get all three guys. He goes, okay, you got it. And he got all three guys. So I think the GM of the Brewers has always had to answer, Bart, to the owner just to get clearance because the owner's money.
Ken Rosenthal with the tweet yesterday that the Giants asked to speak to David Stearns about becoming their president of baseball operations. Milwaukee owner Mark Attanasio denied permission. Stearns has at least 1 year left on his deal. At least, I don't know. They never say.
Mm-hmm.
We think that Stearns and Council have this. We think they're even, but we don't officially know.
How about the Giants? They've won 3 World Series titles in the last, 10 years? And they're coming after our general manager.
Well, we're in the NLCS right now.
Well, Matt Arnold was up for his assistant was up for that job, too. So there's also talk about that. But they can't lose Stearns.
No, in response to that tweet, Sparky on the Big Show said, just pay Stearns anything he wants, make him the president, and make Arnold the GM. Lock them both up now. That's our boy Sparky.
I mean, I don't know. The president, I mean, just keep it like it is. Let him continue to do what he's doing, evaluating the team and working through the team as a team president. What's the difference?
Not bad for a guy who's younger than me.
Stearns?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the way the trend of baseball has gone. They hire these Ivy League guys, and just Colorado's got one of them. They got a young guy running their team, too.
What the hell? I didn't think when I would be 34 that there'd be NFL coaches younger than me.
Oh, yeah, because it was always these old crusty guys who were coaches.
That there'd be general manager. Like, yeah. I'm still adjusting that players are younger than me, okay? That's why I'm hanging on to Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Braun, because we're all, like, the same age. So I'm like hanging out of these guys.
Those guys are old guys in the game now.
That's why I'm loving Eric Kratz. You know, anybody that's still older than me, that's why I love Jason Terry. Now there's not a single buck older than me. And now you've got NFL coaches and GMs younger. I mean, come on.
Well, I like when they say, well, Craig Counsell, a good young manager, because Craig's like my age. And when they say Craig Counsell, a young manager, I was like, oh, that's good. Glad to keep that up.
It's Chuck and Wickler.
Because of his youthful looks.
We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he was with the rehab group yesterday. Did not practice really as we thought he might. We'll talk to Michael Cohen about what that means for the Packers and their offensive chemistry issues. Plus the problems on defense. A lot of trade talk. Not trade talk, but I'm not going to be here anymore talk from HaHa Clinton Dix that we have to get into with Mike as well. That's coming up. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Well, the Q Club of Wisconsin is a great place to watch all your favorite sports action, and there's a ton of it that's coming up. Well, if you listen to our show, you know that you know all the big sports action that's coming up here in the next several days. And the Q Club of Wisconsin, they got it all. And also, they got their favorite indoor sports. So the huge entertainment room, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, shuffleboard, the electronic darts, the ping pong, and a whole lot more. And they got the indoor bocce ball leagues that are starting in November. They got an extensive food menu. Tonight, the Friday Fish Fry. The Friday Fish Fry is something special at Q Club of Wisconsin. They got it twice a week. They got it Wednesday, and they got it Friday nights. Four different styles piled high with all the extras. You're going to go out to the Q Club tonight. You're going to get the server. You're going to have a big plate of food put right in front of you, and you're going to be full for that game tonight. No doubt about that. And they got the volume of the games on, as always. Yeah, it's the playoffs, man. They got the games on. They got the regular season games on. They got the preseason games on. They got college football on there. They got our pro football team on. They got it all on at the Q Club of Wisconsin. So you're going to walk in. You're going to say, oh, hey, can you put on the baseball game? They'll have it on already. And the volume of the game on as well. Their happy hour specials from 3 until 7. Tonight they got the late night happy hour from 10 o'clock on. The Facebook page will tell you about all the live entertainment on weekends. And if you're planning a company party or a private party for the holidays, the Q Club can set you up with that with the private rooms, including your own VIP suite with the luxury pool table as well. The Q Club, that extensive menu, just not the Friday fish fries, but you can go out there and they have everything on that menu. They'll literally bring out a Bible of food and on that menu, and you can pick and choose whatever you want. The appetizers are great as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. It's Highway T. Take 94 to Highway T and go south on Highway T. You'll see the sign, the Q Club of Wisconsin, and it's right there. The Q Club of Wisconsin, the Q Club of WI.com is their website. For tonight, to watch the game, and for all your favorite sports action, any time of the day, it is the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha.
Let's go get it! The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios here on The Fan, where it is a Fan Friday, talking all things football. Packers, Badgers, Brewers. Going to focus on the Packers side of that right now with our green and gold insider, Michael Cohen, with The Athletic. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Well, have you seen Aaron this week or walking around? Is he hobbling a little bit more than usual? Because he said that he's got further problems with that knee after that game against Detroit. What happened to him there?
Yeah, I have not seen him walking around. You know, it wasn't anything that caught my attention, so it doesn't seem like he's, you know, limping or, you know, anything really significant. You know, there was a play in the first half where he kind of scrambled to the sideline, and as he went down and was hit by Christian Jones, the inside linebacker of the Lions, there was some contact with his knee, you know, body to knee, and it was just, you know, kind of an awkward sort of fall, and it was a play where the ball kind of fumbled out of bounds a little bit. And, you know, after that, Rodgers said that he was a little bit more sore following that game than he had been in weeks prior. So it's certainly something to keep an eye on. And Rodgers said that they were going to play around with exactly what kind of brace he would have to wear for this game. He's hoping that he can stick with the smaller one that he wore in Detroit. But depending on how the rehab goes this week, they may force him to go back to the bulkier brace that he had worn the previous few weeks.
And this is going to be something that's just going to probably need rest, and there's no time for it, obviously, during the regular season. You envision this is just going to be a problem all season long. It's going to be good 1 week and maybe take a hit and take a setback?
Well, the bye week would certainly be an opportunity for him to try and make a lot of progress with it. I would imagine that you know, generally players tend to get out of town as soon as the bye week, you know, as soon as their responsibilities are done for the week. But I would guess that Rodgers is going to remain in Green Bay, or if he goes somewhere, the focus of his bye week will be rehab. And so, you know, if he can go from, you know, Monday night, let's see, after the game Monday night, that would give him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then 6 more days after that before the next game. I think that could be an opportunity for him to try and make as much progress as he will make this season. But I think your point is a fair one, that it's the type of thing where even if he does make a lot of progress, all it takes is somebody to fall on it wrong, or for him to slide or do something, you know, uncharacteristic that would stretch it or twist it or whatever. And it's the type of thing that certainly has the potential to linger. But this bye week coming up is his opportunity to make as much progress as he can without it being stressed in the form of a game.
Michael Cohen with The Athletic joining us here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Rodgers obviously dealing with his injuries, but then when he's back out there Monday night, so are some of the receivers. Limited participants yesterday were Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb. I thought I read last week that Cobb was close to returning, almost in that Detroit game. Do we expect them to play Monday night? And if not, is Rodgers gaining confidence in some of the rookies, like who he would call EQ and MVS, in Valdez Scantling and St. Brown?
Well, I think yesterday was a bit of a pleasant surprise for the Packers, probably. You know, in the morning, Mike McCarthy said that he did not expect Geronimo Allison or Randall Cobb to practice. And then sure enough, they progressed well enough through the early rehab to be allowed to practice on a limited basis. So that says that they're making strides, and perhaps more strides than Mike McCarthy anticipated, which, you know, is never a bad thing. So I think it's trending in the right direction for those two guys to play. But as Rodgers pointed out yesterday in his weekly news conference, you know, this most recent game against Detroit certainly was a major opportunity for these young guys, and he was impressed with what they did. He said that he thought, you know, the two rookies really showed a lot of poise and understanding in terms of having to do things at the line of scrimmage and adjusting their play calls and adjusting to audibles and coverage changes and all the types of things that Rodgers is known for at the line of scrimmage and the things that he demands of his receivers. He went out of his way yesterday to praise those young guys. Now, you can look at that one of two ways. You can say, well, he was just building up their confidence, or he could legitimately have been pleased with what they did. I tend to think it was more toward the latter, because I thought both of those guys showed a lot of potential against the Lions.
Devontae was talking the other day at practice that he thought that the threesome of him, Cobb, and Geronimo Allison could be one of the best, or become one of the best, receiving corps in the National Football League. Is that true? Is that a little much?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that talent-wise, it's certainly possible that those guys could ascend to the top of the league, but availability-wise, it's another question. You know, all three of those players have been bothered by injuries at points in their career. You know, Davante Adams has battled high ankle sprains at times. Randall Cobb seems like he misses anywhere from 2 to 4 games every year. And Geronimo Allison has been banged up a little bit at times as well. And so I think that it's a question of will their you know, overall health allow them to reach the potential that they seem to have. I do think that when all three of those guys are on the field, it's a pretty complete group. You have all kinds of different weapons. You have the ability to get off the line of scrimmage and beat people one-on-one with Davante Adams. You have sort of that shifty run-after-catch kind of player in Randall Cobb. And then you have Geronimo Allison, who's different from all of them because of his size and his stride and his catch radius and all those types of things. So not only do they have three very talented guys when it comes to, you know, their top trio of receivers, but it's also three guys that are very, very different in terms of the way that they play the game. So I do think there's a possibility for those guys to become one of the better trios in the league if they can stay healthy.
Can we expect to see Bashaud Breeland at any point? The Packers signed the cornerback a couple of weeks ago, and then, you know, there was like, oh, okay, this is good. This is a good signing. But then he's been hurt the entire time. We haven't seen him. How hurt is he, I guess? What are you seeing from him, and could we expect a Monday or maybe not until after the bye?
Yeah, he was on the field yesterday at practice. I believe he was in a limited role as well. Here's my thing with Bashaud Breeland. Everyone was saying to me on Twitter, you know, fans, oh my gosh, when is he going to play? This is huge. He's going to be our starting corner. The thing about Breeland is that he was on the street for a long, long time, and he interviewed with 13 teams, and 13 teams decided that after either working him out or looking at his physical or talking to him or whatever, that he was not worth signing for you know, the veteran minimum or barely above the veteran minimum. So there's a reason this guy was unemployed. If he was, like I said on my podcast once, if he was so good and such an unbelievable corner that, you know, he was worth that $8 million a year in free agency, if people really thought he still could play at that level, there's no chance he would have been on the street for this long. And the example I point to is Sam Shields. Sam Shields had, five concussions, and he was signed earlier than Bashaud Breeland. And so that tells you a little bit about what teams are thinking with him. So people say, well, wouldn't Breeland be second or third on our cornerback depth chart if he was healthy? No, I don't. I think he would be fourth or maybe even fifth. He's not better than Jermon Williams and Kevin King, and I don't think he's better than Jair Alexander. You could probably make an argument that he could slide in ahead of Josh Jackson in terms of a pure ranking, but Breeland can't play the slot. He can only play the perimeter position. They're not going to take Jermon Williams off the field. So then it's a question of, can he beat out Kevin King or Jair Alexander? And I don't really see that happening either. So for everyone that's super excited about Bashaud Breeland, trust me, I understand why you're excited. The Packers don't usually bring in guys very often, but he's not going to have a huge role on this team unless there's injuries, because he's just not going to unseat either of those two guys on the perimeter, and he's not capable of playing in the slot.
Packers have 11 guys on the injury report. We'll see what it looks like on Monday when the Packers have their next game against the Niners. We'll preview that one with you then, Michael. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Sounds good, fellas. Talk to you Monday morning.
Michael Cohen joining us again. You can follow him on Twitter, Michael_Cohen13. Find his work at The Athletic. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He'll join us again Monday, 8:20. We will talk to Michael then. And then on Tuesday, we'll recap the game a little bit with Aaron Nagler. We'll do that at 8. So 8 o'clock-ish hour, this sort of time. More Packers coming up Monday and Tuesday. Great Midwest Bank. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
Did you see that Monday night at this Packer game, broadcast history is going to happen? The first father-daughter team to broadcast a game is going to happen. Kevin Harlan will be doing the play-by-play, and his daughter Olivia is going to be the sideline reporter.
I did see that. That will be on Westwood One, I believe.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So the radio broadcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that will be pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, of course, she's married to Sam Decker.
I knew that.
Yeah, former. She goes by Olivia Harlan Decker on the radio or on TV, but she's on her way. She's on her way to, you know, doing great things. I think she got a job with the SEC right out of, while she was in college, the SEC network. She was broadcasting down there, but obviously she's got some ability.
Yeah, cool honor for the Harlan family, of course, all descendants. Is that the right word, of Bob Harlan? Relatives?
Relatives.
Descendants is more like history or centuries ago.
Well, it feels like it was centuries ago that Bob Harlan was running the Packers, but I haven't seen Bob in a long time.
Feels like centuries ago that they were good.
Well, don't write it off just yet.
This stupid team. Oh, they're going to whack San Fran, all right? The spread's 9.5. Lay down your mortgage on that one.
Well, I wouldn't bet on this team if I was betting your money at this point.
I did my bet column last night. By the way, I'm 5-0-1 on Thursday nights.
There is nothing to think that they could wax anybody at this point.
You cannot stop me on Thursday nights right now. I am undefeated.
Yeah, yeah. Did you want to bet on the Packer game on Monday?
I you know what? That's my rule. I don't do it, but I would. That's the game I love the most.
You do?
This week.
And what's the spread?
9.5.
$100.
Whoa!
I'll take San Francisco.
Okay.
On 9.5.
Can we see what the line is on Monday?
He said okay, and now
well,
you're
what
going.
What if Rodgers doesn't play? Because we took the Eagles with you at 2.5. All of a sudden, it's nearly a pick 'em by kickoff.
Yeah. Well, if Rodgers doesn't play, we can do it on a contingency. If Rodgers doesn't play, the game is off the board. We won't.
What if he gets hurt in like the second quarter? All right, $100. Fine. 9.5.
9.5. Oh, I mean.
The game I love.
Yeah,
it's the game
you are saying you love it.
It's the game I love.
You either love it or you don't.
We're going to do our picks at 9. Maybe I'm done betting for the week.
Okay.
I'll go a hundy.
All right, hundy.
I love the
You
Packers
want till 9 to think about it, or do you want to do it?
Okay, give me till 9 to make it final.
Okay.
And I'll make it final at 9.
All right.
Okay, it's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The weekend is here, and you know what that means. Playoff baseball, Wisconsin football, and Green Bay football.
Rodgers end zone. Touchdown!
This week, it's a pick and save Fan Friday. brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Brewers, Packers, Badgers, and a whole lot more. 9 o'clock hour, we'll do our picks. Will I bet Chuck $100 on the Packers to cover 9.5? The answer at 9 a.m. Also talk to Eric Steven about the Dodgers. Does work with SB Nation, 9:35 for that. We are served up by Perkins from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studio.
All right, we're going to bring our next guest right here. Worked for the Brewers for a long time in their front office, the media relations department from the 70s to the early 90s. He's been a sports writer in town, a longtime resident of the city of Milwaukee and Brookfield. And a guy I've known since I was covering the team when I was 14 years old and used to let me in the press box to cover games, Tom Skybosch. Sky, how are you?
Hey, Chuck. Good morning. How you been?
Oh, it's great to talk to you again. I know you...
Wait, Sky, tell me what a 14-year-old Chuck Freeman was like.
I tell you, his wonderful hair looked just as good as it does now. You know, a lot of us don't have the hair that we had back at that age. And, but Chuck is just as handsome as ever. I watch him on the Roundtable show, and, you know, he just does a great job. And you know, Jeff Bart, I just want you to know that I am thrilled today that I actually get a chance to talk to you. You know, I tweet with you a lot, and this is like, oh, the highlight of my day right now.
Sky, vice versa, my man.
Sky, ready to become a regular maybe on Chuck and Winkler
sure.
After that.
Yeah,
that would be wonderful. I listen to you guys all the time.
Well, Sky, you know, you worked for the old regime for C-League back in the day, and, you know, talk about how this franchise was in the 70s and where it became, I mean, where it went to the 82 season. You were there, too, and, of course, 81, they went to the playoffs in that split season. But the franchise seems like it's come a long way from those days.
Well, yeah, and see, you know, in 76, that was my first year there. They were just absolutely terrible. 77, I don't know how much better they were, but they went out and they signed Sal Bando. And then 78, they turned around and they that was the year of the, they called it the Saturday Night Massacre, where they fired Alex Grannis and Jim Bomber, the general manager, and Al Widmar, the farm director. And they had signed Larry Heisel, and that's when they started turning it around in 78. You know, Larry had one of the best years I've ever seen a Brewer have from the point of view of, you know, he didn't have the stats that Robin had when he won the MVP, but he always came up with the big hit. I mean, he could go 0-for-4, then come up and with the bases loaded and, you know, get a clutch double to win the game. And I think Larry Heisel was one of the people who taught them how to win. And, you know, he's still with the Brewers. Larry's a good guy. And I still remember him when, you know, back then they didn't have the surgery techniques that they have today, and he had a rotator cuff, and they had a, you know, cut actually the whole shoulder open and go through the layers of muscle to try to fix it, and he just was never able to come back. And I remember him, I happened to be coming in, and he was leaving, and he was crying in the parking lot. Now, I'll just never forget that.
Yeah.
But this they've really turned it around. I love the new regime. And, Chuck, you know how it is as you get older. You know, when they hired this 30-year-old guy, you know, the Harvard, you know, the whatever he is, you know, type guy, and with the analytics, I said, well, this is going to be interesting, and to see what happens. And I got a chance to meet David at the last year's reunion, the 35th reunion, and I went up to him and I said, you know, I just want to introduce myself. I told him who I was. And I said, I haven't disagreed with a move you've made. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, give me time.
Well, Sky, now you've seen this franchise go through the ups and downs. Three division titles in 50 years. Why has it been such a struggle for these guys, for this franchise?
Well, I think, I'll be honest with you, is they, in my opinion, they had some bad leadership, you know, with some of the general managers that they had after Harry Dalton. And they also had bad scouting directors. A franchise like the Brewers is built on its scouting department. And, you know, they their farm system was terrible. They really had a bad farm system. And now under Stearns, it's starting to turn it around. But I think that's the big reason. Because, obviously they couldn't go out and spend big money on free agents. But, everything, a bad farm system, wrong scouting. I mean, you can go back and look. You guys have talked about it on how they struck out in the minor leagues so much.
There's a great anecdote in this article recently written by Kurt Hogg with the Journal Sentinel that quotes you as remembering in the mid-'80s when you had a fantasy football league, which, wow, that's awesome, first of all. But you were trying to make a trade with Craig's dad, John, and you had to go through Craig. Now, you've seen Craig Counsell basically grow up, sometimes from afar, but also him being around County Stadium back in the day. How impressed, and maybe is there any level of surprise, are you in what he's been able to do as the manager of this team?
Well, no, not at all. From the point of view of, I remember him, watching him when he broke in. And, in the old days with TV, now they all have graphics. But they used to, when they would go around the infield and the outfield, and left field is so-and-so, center field. And when they put the camera on him at second base, I almost fell over. I yelled for my wife. I said, Kat, come here. I said, there's John Counsell's kid. He looked just like Counsell. Very similar face to John. And then what I liked about him is the fact that, he was a role player, but he was a very smart player. And as he's got two World Series rings. And the key was he played two key roles in both, big victories. And, everybody always talks about him scoring the winning run and this and that. But I remember and I forgot which team he was with, but he had a huge sacrifice fly, that drove in like a lead run. And so it didn't surprise me at all what he's done, because, I thought he was going to be a general manager. But I think being in a uniform is what he likes to do. So what he's done, and once again, I'm like any other fan. Sometimes they do things and you question them. But when I hear, in fact, this happens on your show a lot, and I get so ticked off, where someone will, some guy who sits on a couch who's, drinks his beer, and he's talking about, you had a guy call in a couple of weeks ago, he's a nice guy, and he doesn't have the experience, and I thought, yeah, and you have the experience drinking beer on your couch, it's stuff like that. I'm one of Craig's biggest defenders, because I really think I think the Brewers should have the general manager, the manager, and the MVP of the year in the National League.
Yeah, without a question.
I think that was Ken and West Bend. They just was got it? Called
I,
out.
I saw Ken West Bend the other day in the parking lot. He picked up a prize. He won Chili's the other day.
Oh, good for Kenny.
Met Kenny in the parking lot.
Good for Kenny.
Top Skybush joining us, former Brewer employee, longtime Brewer employee, and a sports writer in this city as well. Sky, somebody asked me, and I was talking to Bart earlier today, and he said, what was the best team, the best Brewer team that did not go to the postseason that you felt really good about and maybe should have made the postseason, maybe with the expanded format? I know there were some teams there in the 70s, but I said I thought that 1987 team with Molitor with the hitting streak, and they called that one team streak, I thought that was maybe the best non-postseason team in Brewer history. And that team was the best team in baseball in 87, but just didn't make the postseason.
Yeah, well, that was an outstanding team. It was a fun team. That was a fun team with the different, as we called it team streak. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I don't have any stats in front of me, but it was in, back then there were two divisions. And, the Yankees in Baltimore, we were in the same division as they were. And I think we won like 95 games and finished third like six games out of first. And that was an outstanding team. That could have been 79. I know, Mr. Historian, Mario Zina, he has all that emblazoned in his head. But that was also a very good team. But, my favorite manager, everybody asked me who my favorite manager was over the year. And believe it or not, it was Tom Treblehorn. And, Tom was the first manager that was around my age. And he was funny because he was not your typical baseball guy. He was a teacher in the off season. And I remember I asked him once, I said, how are you going to handle Pete Vukovich? Because, Pete was a character. And he said, with honesty and forthrightness, and I had to go look up Ford Righteousness to see what that meant. Team Street was a fun team, and you know, it makes you wonder what we could have done if we didn't. We won 13 in a row, and then 2 weeks later we lost 12 in a row. You know what that could have done in the season.
This team can get it done, right? Don't you think, Sky? I mean, we're trying hard to not like be overconfident in this team, but the way they've been able to sort of redevelop how the pitching staff works and the guys they have in Aguilar, who didn't know what his spot was going to be at the beginning of the season, Yelich, who should be the MVP. Are we too overconfident to think that they can get past the Dodgers and then win in the AL or against the AL team, or are we going to have a parade for this team for a losing team like we did 36 years ago?
All I can say is this. I call what I have a reverse lock. I always bet against them, and then I can't lose. But I thought the key to this, I was talking to my son-in-law yesterday, and to me, the key to this series is the Brewers hitting with men on base. Because if they fall behind against the Dodgers, that great bullpen is not going to do them any good. And they can't afford to leave guys on base, especially early in the game. And that, to me, that's right now, if you ask me what their biggest weakness is, that would be it. And if you look in their bullpen, you know, and you look at, you know, guys like Corbin Burns and Peralta, and this, you know, these guys are starting to come, you know, from the minor league system. I mean, I love Burns. I mean, I was hoping they'd bring him up as a starter. But once again, that's why I'm retired and sitting back and playing fantasy sports, and they know what they're doing because he's been just fabulous in the bullpen. And, you know, between him Woodbridge, what is it, Woodbridge?
Woodruff.
Blank, you know, Woodruff, yeah. You know, when you get old, Chuck, someday you'll experience that. But I think that's the key to this series, because if they can, you know, hit better with men on base than they have, you know, they got to get the lead. Otherwise, their bullpen really, you know, doesn't do them any good. And without a doubt, I think they have the best bullpen in baseball. And, our Hader's been unbelievable. 143 strikeouts in 81 innings. I mean, you can't even grasp that. So there's always a chance with this team. One of the things between this team and the 82 team, you know, the 82 team, I mean, I was right there. And in 81, when they lost to the Yankees in that five-game playoff, you know, these guys went around and talked to each other and said, next year's going to be our year. And there was a fun-loving attitude. There was a love in it. Those guys loved each other. And just as an outsider, I can see it, you know, just in the dugout, that's the way they celebrate a home run. The way Council has sold them on the fact that, you know, he has 15 players and he is, you know, in the bullpen, he's got, you know, outgetters and stuff like that. You know, this they really, really like each other. And I think that has, first of all, they have talent, but that also has something to do with it. The chemistry is so important to be successful. And I saw the 82 Brewers had it, and I see that in this team.
Bart, you know what you'd like about Sky? Huge wrestling fan.
Oh, well, we'll have to...
Yeah, he used to bring the wrestlers up to the press box all the time.
Well, that's a tradition that continued with the Brewers, and we'll have to get you on another time and talk about that, Sky. Good chatting with you. You will not be a stranger. We'll talk to you again down the road, man.
No, that would be wonderful, guys, and once again, I know I tweeted this out, but you guys just have done a wonderful job covering them this year. And, you know, you and, you know, Big Timmy. And, you know, there's a guy who, you know, loves, I think he thinks he can manage the Brewers, but that's another story.
Bill? Schmitty?
No, Tim.
Oh,
Tim,
Timmy?
Tim, yeah. Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Allen.
Okay.
I think he thinks he can manage the Brewers, but and I say that in a positive way because you guys got a passion for what you do, and that's really important. Even though I have to admit that you guys must be making a ton of money now with all the money you're betting, I told my wife, boy, there's more money in radio than when I was in it years ago.
We don't do that because we have it available. We do it to survive.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
one of whoever loses the bet does not eat that night.
No, that's what cash advances on credit cards are.
Yeah.
For. Oh, is that how that works? Okay. You know, you're talking betting $100 on the Packers.
That's a little high for us, but we'll see if we go there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. And, you know, keep up the good work.
Tom, we'll talk soon. Tom Skybosh joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. As I said, I'm going to do a read and then talk about the beer thing. I think that got on the air. The beer thing, there's free beer all over the place. We're going to talk about that to end the show today. You can get free Miller all over town.
Oh, okay.
Right? So if you didn't know that.
I saw a little bit about this.
You can get free booze today. We'll talk about that next hour. We're going to do our picks next hour, and we're going to talk to Eric Steven about the Dodgers, because we're pretty hyped about the Brewers, but the Dodgers are very, very, very good, and we'll get more on that. Plus, will the Wade Miley Geo 1-2 lefty thing work against the Dodgers? Will they force Dave Roberts' hand to platoon some of their weaker hitters? We'll talk to Eric Steven, SB Nation, at 9:35. You can talk to anybody you want. You can talk to the real nice waitresses and wait staff at Perkins. It's all about getting back to basics right now at Perkins. When it comes to dining out, sometimes you just want to get back to basics, like the hearty breakfast combos, the piled high sandwiches, and the juicy 100% Angus beef burgers. Well, Perkins has a new menu full of all your old favorites, starting at just $4.99. If it's a classic, it's at Perkins. Stop by today. Also, the Friday Fish Fry coming up today at 11 o'clock until close. We are so pressed on time, but we're going to get Ken in West Bend in. Kenny, Skybosh called you out, I think.
What's that?
Skybosh called you out, I think.
What did he say?
He said he heard this. So you're just calling randomly?
Yeah, I just got in my vehicle. I'm going to another job site quickly, and then I heard that. I started laughing.
So yeah, he said that there was a guy who called in drinking his beer and always is hating on council, and I said, I'm pretty sure that's Ken in West Bend.
But there's a lot of guys that could narrow it down to that one.
I'm pretty sure it's Ken in West Bend.
I wouldn't say hating on. What I didn't care for in his particular management style early on, especially last year, some of the goofy things that happened, but that was with a lot of young players. Now with all these veterans, it seems to be much easier for him. And anybody, I believe anybody who's been watching him can see that he's got easier choices to make with these veterans because they're able to hit in the situations. And that's really been the key, in my opinion. The same thing with the pitching staff. Look at what he's got to choose from now. He's like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, I didn't like the lineups early in the season. I think our biggest problem was I feel like every day here in April, we're talking about the different lineups that Counts would use.
Well, we're a long way from relying on Saladino and Orf. Remember the lineup, 3 weeks of Orf every day?
Chet Bandy?
They switched the lineup. You're right, Chuck. Every day switched the lineup. And when he would lead off with Thames, I would go nuts.
Yeah,
I was like, come on now. And by the way, it was a pleasure to meet you yesterday, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, in the parking lot at the radio station. Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy your chilies, Ken. We got to get going.
One more thing. Brewers in five.
I agree.
I like a player.
I'm with you. Brewers in five.
I got them in six, but five is fine, too.
No. Let's get one more road celebration. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Our week six picks in the NFL. Packers 9.5 is the spread over the Niners.
Okay, I laid it out there.
For a hundy?
Well, we can get to that at the other side here. Give me a couple more minutes to think about it.
We'll have our answer next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.